Welcome to Real Estate Coaching Radio, starring award-winning real estate coaches and number one international best-selling authors, Tim and Julie Harris. This is the number one daily radio show for realtors looking for a no BS, authentic, real-time coaching experience. What's really working in today's market, how to generate more leads, make more money, and have more time for what you love in your life. And now your hosts, Tim and Julie Harris.
Welcome back. This is the first day of a three-part show, how to make your CRM into a money printing machine. And today is part one.
That's right. So today we're going to talk about the mindset of how to actually do that, how to set up your database for success. You have differing things going on. Some of you don't have a database. Some of you have one and don't use it. Others of you are perhaps misusing it. So we're going to address all of that and do it right today. And then tomorrow we'll talk about your system and we'll move on from there.
Right. So the real output of this, what we're hoping all of you take away from this, is actually how to not just build a CRM and build drip campaigns and all the rest of it, but how to actually make money from your CRMs. Somewhere probably about 15 years ago, the industry completely went in the wrong direction and started lying to agents, telling them that basically your whole mission is to gather as much, you know, homeowner or buyer information as you can, stuff them into a CRM, and let your CRM act as almost like your, you know, your secret salesman doing all the real work of real estate for you. That is where many of you are going wrong with really the whole point of a CRM. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through the facts of what works, what doesn't, and why what works works. And then hopefully you're going to, if you're just putting your CRM together now, you're going to do it correctly. Or if you've got a CRM that's not producing consistent deal flow for you, we're going to tell you how to fix that problem.
And that's why we're starting from the beginning. So a little bit of mindset first. Everybody wants to know, how do you create a steady flow of repeat and referral business? Well, the answer is to create a 12-month plan so that you can get into action and get out of getting ready to get started to someday actually talk to my people mode, as many of you call it.
Uh-oh, Julie just foreshadowed what we're going to be talking about. It was talk to my people mode.
Talk to my people.
It wasn't just drip on them more.
Uh-oh. Oh, yeah, I used the word talk. I slipped. Okay.
Moving on. No, we have to, they're very sensitive, but they believe they can just do everything digitally and send them videos and texts and all this other stuff. They don't realize they have to talk.
Talk. Yes. A prequel. All right. First, we'll ensure that you're set up correctly and understand how to maximize your database. Then we'll get into the 12-month plan. So this is the first part of a three-part series to get your database out of chaos and into cash flow.
Did you hear on All In? I know you listen as often as I do. Mm-hmm. I forget which one of them was talking. All In's a great podcast you guys should be listening to. It's kind of nerdy tech sector stuff and investor stuff, but still it's fun. There were these men, there's four of them. One in particular was talking about the fact that in his family, he makes a rule that they're not allowed to have any devices. They're like very specific on their, his kids are, I think three of them, they're teenagers. What he was talking about, and they're all talking about the fact that one of the greatest superpowers that any human, especially a younger human, can have is their ability to communicate. Okay, well, that sounds like it should be obvious, right? But then they were giving, citing exact studies that have been done that shows that younger generations literally don't know how to communicate. They don't know how to look people in the eye. They don't know how to ask questions. They don't know how to show sincere interest. They don't even know how to shake hands. They've lost all the finite details of what truly makes a human when it comes to communicating, because they think an emoji does the same thing.
That's right. They kind of talk in texts when they talk at all. So let's get you away from that and into real communication, because that is indeed what works. So here's a fact. When you look at that amazing new listing that just hit the market and you see the listing agent and you ask, how did that agent get that listing? It's almost always because the seller already knew the agent and they've been talking. Here's your goal: to be that agent who the seller already knows and gets that listing.
Okay, again, don't let this subtle point to get by you. You can have someone in your center of influence and past client list that you've been mailing tchotchkes to, that you've been dropping off things, you've been doing all this passive, you know, not talking to them type of communication. And guess what? That same seller is also in a database of an agent who does not drop off pumpkin pies in November, who does not drop off forget-me-not seeds in April, who does not do all the passive stuff, does not email them, does not send them postcards, does not send them newsletters, but they call them on a frequent basis. Guess who's going to get the listing? The person who calls, not the person who's doing the passive stuff. So when you see somebody in your market that's in your database and your sign's not in their yard, I just told you why.
Exactly why. And you guys love to get mad about that. So we're here to help cure you of it. So here's another fact. Everybody loves repeat and referral business. Why? The prospect already knows you and trusts you. They know you're honest and ethical and will take good care of them. If you could choose who your next buyer or seller would be, wouldn't you always choose someone you already know, you know, from your database, assuming you have one? So moving on to another fact, a minimum of 10% of your database should be buying or selling with you every year, assuming that you speak with them regularly. There's that phrase again, assuming you speak with them regularly. Many of our coaching clients who do that track closer to 40% or even 50% of their business to their ever-expanding database. But you can only get these results when your regular communication is systematized. It won't happen if you only speak with your database when you're starving for new business, when you have time to get to it, or when you have a random assistant with time to burn. It must be systematized for you to get the results you desire.
Let me give him a real world example. All right, so Carrie Shaw and Dan Lesniak. It's called the Carrie Shaw team. In 2021, they sold, it was over, I think.
$738 million.
No, $732 million in volume, but they sold like 1,300 homes, okay, yes, in 1 year. Mm-hmm. Not new construction, basically resale homes. And they had this huge database. If I remember correctly, it was like 1,200 people in their database.
Yep.
And the market, this was 2021, and the market in 22 and 23 was obviously challenging. And what was she doing in her CRM? All the best state-of-the-art passive lead generation stuff. The videos, the this is and the other things. All the best stuff you could possibly imagine was being sent to these people, this 1,200 person list. And I simply mentioned to them that guess what? Those same people are in probably 10 other agents' lists receiving very similar stuff. Your message is getting lost. It's all the digital stuff is oversaturated. I'll suggest that you guys, being her team, actually picks up the phone and starts calling. And they did, and they start setting appointments like there was no tomorrow. So all the passive lead generation stuff arguably could have just completely not ever been done had they been picking up the phone on a regular basis. The problem with the modern CRMs and frankly, the problem with a lot of the people that are selling you the CRMs is they're either unknowingly or knowingly telling you that if you have a great CRM, you don't actually have to do the real work of real estate. And that's absolutely positively not true. Have a CRM to keep everything organized. And you can do the passive stuff. You can do the drips and the this is and the other things, but you must make the calls.
You must make the calls. So do the math. When you have 100 names on your list, which everybody listening should be able to have at least 100 names in your database, they're probably already in your phone, you should have 10 deals from them yearly following that 10% rule. If you don't, you either don't have a great past client and center of influence plan, or you aren't working your plan consistently. Email is not enough. Drip campaigns, to Tim's point, is not enough. Posting on their Facebook and Instagram is not enough. Going to their holiday party is not enough. You have to speak with them.
And we give you all the scripts and things to say. We give you a 12-month, communication plan, which, by the way, we're going to be talking about in an upcoming podcast. I think it's tomorrow or the following day.
Yep.
Of exactly what you should be saying when you call these folks every single month and telling them what to say. And they're going to welcome your call, especially if they're sellers, because every single time you're calling these sellers, you're going to be bringing them good news, because it's mostly going to be about what's going on in the market and going on their home's value. And pretty much month after month, you're going to be telling them that they made money just, living in the house that they're living in. So these are not going to be calls that are going to be in any way seen as an annoyance to the sellers. They're going to actually look forward to your call, use our script. You're then going to be able to start pulling leads out of those conversations.
Absolutely. So we have four specific points how to set up your database properly so that you'll actually use it. Number one, set up and maintain your database using KV Core, especially if you're an eXp agent or another CRM. Gather phone numbers, email addresses, social media information for each entry. Now I have to pause here for a second because some of you have been stuck with this same objection for years. What's the best CRM? I've tried other ones. What should I be using? Well, again, if you're eXp, you've got KV Core baked in. Go ahead.
At eXp, KV Core is included. So yes, you get KV Core, which is a very robust CRM. But really, the answer is use whatever CRM you're going to use. It doesn't have to be some big fancy thing. And just be incredibly clear. I'm saying this now for the fourth time. If you have to, if right now you're overwhelmed with the cost of a CRM, if you're overwhelmed with the complexity of a CRM, if you're having to hire five different people to run your CRM, listen to what I'm telling you. None of the CRMs, none of the passive lead generation things, any of this stuff is necessary if you're picking up the phone and making the calls. There was a great study that was done by Teak Wiggins at Inman. You guys can research this. The guy's name is Teak Wiggins, great reporter. So he researched all the long-term lead follow-up campaigns, and you all aren't going to like what I'm about to tell you, but it is the truth. He determined in this article, find it online, that long-term lead follow-up, for the most part, is a waste of time. Why? for all the reasons that we've been sprinkling on you in the last few minutes, because long-term lead follow-up, generally speaking, is incredibly ineffective, and especially if you're pre-qualifying folks and you're initially talk with them. The greatest agents that Julie and I have ever personally coached, and frankly, the way that we want to sort of coach you guys towards the mindset, is have the fewest number of highly qualified leads. A lead is not just somebody in your CRM. That's not a lead. That's just a name in your CRM that may or may not be actually opening your emails. What are you talking about, Tim? The CRM tells me whether they're opening and reading my stuff. Who cares?
Right.
Honestly, call them. Find out what, if you see a change in behavior where someone's paying more attention to your passive lead generation, don't wait for them to email you, or don't text them or call them or message them. Don't text them or Facebook and message them. Pick up the phone and call them. Check in with them. Hey, I noticed you opened up my last email with regards to new homes for sale. And then re-qualify them, which you should have done in the first place before you put them in your CRM in the first place. And then get into the habit of making the calls. And then, if you have 100 people in your CRM right now, what Julie said is accurate. In some markets, it's actually far more. If you're in one of these markets that where there's a lot of move-in and move-outs, we sold in a market just like that, you're going to deal with 100 people. Maybe 20 of them are going to be transactional in the next 12 months or less.
That's right. Remember yesterday's stat, 80% of people feel, quote, locked in. That's the headline that's out there, by their low interest rate. And yet, the thing that's not reported, almost 30% of them said they're going to move anyway.
Well, why?
And that they've been thinking about it of 1 to 3 years. How many people right. in your database are in that category? They've been thinking about it for 3 years. They're absolutely going to move anyway, even though they've got a low interest rate. Who are they going to transact with?
But why? I mean, think about that. Some of you are going to say, well, people have this low interest rate, they're never going to sell. That's not true. The people with the low interest rates also have at least 50% equity in their homes. So even if they have to finance something on what they're going to purchase, they're not going to have their payments probably going to be the same, if not less, even with a higher rate, because they're able to put down so much money. Why are they? What's the statistic? Drill down on it. One, they basically want to sell because they wanted to sell 3 years ago.
Yeah.
When their knees went bad and their bedroom was upstairs, and because of the low interest rate and because of whatever else, they rationalized nothing to buy. They stayed in that house that doesn't work for them anymore. There are all kinds of reasons why sellers have to sell, financial reasons being the best ones. I mean, the ones that create the most motivation. And a lot of people have just been kicking the can down the road. They knew they were going to have to sell. Mm-hmm. And now what's happened is the higher interest rates, higher air quoting, it's now accepted. People aren't waiting around for interest rates to drop. People aren't waiting around for some magical announcement out of Washington, D.C. that mortgage rates are going to be 3% again. Assume that's never going to happen. The market has already assumed that's never going to happen. People are moving on with their lives. People are making babies. People are moving across town. People are closing on their new construction. All of this is happening. Well, that's the reason that interest rates aren't locking people into their mortgages now.
It's exactly what that survey said, that they were moving anyway for, quote, personal reasons.
Well,
right?
What the hell else reason do you move for?
I know. It's not moving just because of an interest rate. And here's the other important factor is, while they were sitting there for those 3 years thinking that they ought to be moving, they built up, in some cases, more than 50% of equity in their homes. So there you go. Don't hang your hat on nobody's transacting because rates are high.
And remember, Julie and I always circle back to new construction. New construction is going to be the silent killer of resale. Make sure you know what's going on in your market as far as new construction. And if your market is just some small radius of where you live, you are not actually thinking like, this new generation of buyers are going to think. They're more than willing to, look in new construction that in your mind might be a further distance from, people are born here and they, statistically, here's an interesting fact, according to the Social Security Administration, that people are born and, essentially born and die within the same, I think it's 25-mile, it might be 50-mile radius. And so your whole entire life is whatever that bubble is of that geographic area. If you think about that, everything in your life is around that. And so if you're working with clients that are also living in that same bubble, in your mind, you're going to believe they'll never want to step outside of the bubble. And yet, 5 miles outside of that radius is a new construction subdivision that you're not even considering because you're assuming that they would never consider it. That's how you lose transactions. You got to be dialing into the new construction. In every market, well, most major markets that aren't landlocked, you're going to see new construction is going to set the market straight, especially with overpricing on the resale side.
100%. It's a complete honey hole, assuming that you know about it, and refer to Premier Coaching to find out more about what we're talking about, as well as past podcasts about new construction. So point number two, who actually goes into this database? Enter your past clients, people from your sphere of influence, and adopted clients into the list. Adopted clients are buyers who bought your listings. They worked with another agent most of the time, but you're adopting them. Treat them like your own. You can also add your professional sphere of influence, like home inspectors and mortgage lenders. Add details to each person to help you remember them. If you look in my contacts, it'll say where I met somebody. I met them through somebody. I know them from school. They live in a certain subdivision. I know them from Instagram, something like that. So add some details, because then when you're calling, you'll have little hooks in the conversation.
Hold on. You just fibbed. Do you know anybody from Instagram?
I do. Only a few friends from school. I'm not a big Instagram.
Do you even have Instagram on your phone?
I do.
Oh, you do, really?
I do. I don't use it that much. But yes.
Well, I might tell Zoe and she's going to start sharing.
Oh, no, don't do that. But the point is to give yourself some little morsels so that you'll have more to talk about. Maybe the only thing you know about them is that they've got a parrot named Enzo. Well, that's something for you to talk about, right?
Well, and also, most people do this all automatically, but when you are texting initially, a lot of people, like text is without a doubt the most prevalent and powerful form of digital communication. It's even going to become more so with WhatsApp and all these other apps, and X is going to become more of a texting platform. You know, keep notes about your last conversation with the folks in your, you know, in the text. It, obviously, these things aren't the same as a CRM, but they are going to get at least make it so that when you're communicating with people, you'll have little triggers to make it so the conversation isn't awkward.
Very well put. All right, point number three. Again, we're setting up your database correctly. Point number three, commit to adding at least 5 new people per week to this list from your closings, your clubs, your meetings, your organizations. Get into the habit of exchanging information on the spot when you meet new connections. This is something you're really good at the gym, at different things that we meet people at.
Well, I mean, thank you for saying that. But the fact is the iPhone makes it easy. Like the new iPhones, you can actually put, if you have a new iPhone, I think it's this last generation, 14 or whatever we're on. The top of your iPhone, if you kind of like knock it against the top of somebody else's iPhone or just touch, get them close, what it does is it actually exchanges an e-card with permission. Now, when that technology came out, when that option came out, everyone was saying, oh, never do that because someone's going to be able to get all your data from your phone. That wasn't true. That was just,
you know, researched that.
Yeah, I did. That was just bunk. But you can quickly exchange emails and information with somebody. All you got to do is take your iPhone, you know, where the camera and all, I'm looking at mine right now, where the camera is on the top of the phone. You guys know what I'm talking about. And then just if you get that close to the top of their iPhone, it has to be the last generation, I believe, with the newest iOS, you're going to be have a little thing that pops up asking if you want to exchange information with this person and or at least give them your information, and you can. That's another real clever way of saving a lot of time when you're meeting new people.
Also a good reason to make sure that your contact profile is correct and updated and that maybe you can remind them something about you. Okay, so again, on the topic of adding new people, you can also create micro lists using WhatsApp. Examples of this are, say, your kids' fourth grade class parents or your 5 best golfing buddies. Your WhatsApp contacts should also be part of your larger database so they get all of your real estate updates, not just your golf intel, for example. I'll use one of mine from, there's a school discussion on one of my, I think I have like 7 WhatsApp groups. And since Friday night, there's been, I think, 60 or 70 posts from different people. And as I've been watching that, I am now adding contacts and learning new people, a friend of a friend and things like that. But those are very curated micro lists. A couple of my coaching clients are working on this for their neighborhood WhatsApp so that you can get the list from your HOA. You can turn that into kind of a micro lead generation.
So here's the fun thing about Telegram, about WhatsApp, about any of these non-SMS platforms that operate like SMS. They're outside of TCPA.
That's another advantage.
So like on Telegram, for example, Telegram's fully encrypted, if that matters to you. And you can create, I think it's called Telegram Groups, where you can have an unlimited number of people that are in your Telegram group that act as just as what Julie described, but then you can mass message them through Telegram. And you can do that through WhatsApp as well. I'm not sure about the functionality of Telegram versus WhatsApp. I've never really compared. But if you wanted to form, like if you're talking, we're talking CRMs here, that's kind of a cool way of letting the folks that have joined your group know more about a listing for sale, know more about something that's market conditions, whatever. And as you guys know, messaging through WhatsApp, Telegram, or even certainly text definitely gets priority in people's lives over virtually all other forms of digital communication. Nothing is going to be as good as a phone call, though, so just keep that in mind.
That's right. All right, last but not least, number 4, update your database weekly. Some of you have made this into the biggest project ever. You're sitting on like 300 contacts. Someday I'll get to updating my database. Just do it weekly starting right now. part of your daily minimum standard so you get it done weekly. Commit to never letting it get out of control, neglected, or outdated again. You have to actually use it to work. Just having the existence of a database and having a few things deployed that are set it and forget it, that's not going to be enough if you want this actually to be a money printing machine. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah. And that's the thing is, again, don't focus on having a huge database because you're not going to be able to service those sellers when it comes to, or service those leads when it comes to calling. If you had to form the perfect database, it's going to be people that if I were to grab your database and I were to call them and I would say, you know, I'll call Bob. Hey, Bob, is, you know, this gal named Julie Harris? Oh, yeah, Julie. Okay. Those types of relationships. If I called up Bob and said, hey, do you know this person named Julie Harris? I don't think so. Maybe the name sounds familiar. You guys get the difference? What a lot of you have done is you form these CRMs where people don't know who the hell you are, because you have not really qualified them before throwing them into this list, because all the people selling these expensive CRMs have led you to believe that you could just drop a bunch of, you know, strangers in this list and somehow magically they're going to feel bonded to you, and over time they're going to become real estate leads. The same level of malarkey that's been sold to all of you guys who think building your brand through social media and not actually communicating with people is going to somehow win the win the war. It never works like that, never has worked like that. And as more people believe that you can build your business off digital, build your business passively, as more agents believe they never have to do the real work of real estate, those who do know how to do the real work of real estate will have an outsized advantage, getting an outsized percent of the home sales, because they're willing to have communication conversations with decision-making adults about buying or selling real estate.
And if you want more proof of that, all you have to do is go to our daily coaching sessions to hear from our coaching members who have been coached on this for quite some time and have deployed all of these things and are getting really amazing results. I mean, I have some of my personal elite coaching clients. They're getting like 80% of their business from this category because it's fully optimized, systematized. They're not weird about being on the phone. They do things like, we're going to talk about the day after tomorrow, some live events that they're doing as past client appreciation things, dinner parties. We're going to get, that's, to me, that's the fun part. But you can't really do any of that until you have cleaned up your database, systematized it. Tomorrow's podcast, we're going to talk about the systematization of your communication. And then the following one, we'll talk about events.
Well, it's a NAR statistic, Jules, that said 80% of all agents, or say 80% of deals for an agent that's been in the business for 5 years or more comes from centers of influence and past clients.
Yes. And you can do at least that, if not more, if you get this really serious. And of course, we talk about spokes in the wheel, different avenues of business, spokes of business. For everyone, this is the universal spoke, because everybody has a center of influence. Everybody has a database. Even if you got licensed yesterday, you have a database in the context of your phone. This should be your foundational spoke. This, I think, is also the easiest category because people already have a level of trust with you. When you're calling your database, it's not a cold call. I love, you know, people say that, but it's not a cold call.
It's not. And here, if you're wanting to sell, you know, really, really upper end real estate, do not even waste your time with marketing and branding, all the rest of it. All of those sellers are making their decisions based off somebody they know or a referral from somebody they know. And so let me remind all of you of this. If you had to hire a roofer to fix a leak in your roof today, here's the process that you're going to go through. Just think about what I'm telling you. The first thing you're going to say is, do I know a roofer? Do I have somebody that I know, love, and trust to fix my roof? I'm assuming you have a roofer that you love. I don't know. That may be weird, but anyway.
We love the job they do.
Okay, exactly. So if you know somebody that you trust, you're going to use that roofer again. If you don't, what are you going to do next, dear listener? You're going to ask somebody that you trust for a referral. So you might go to your neighbor. You might go to somebody that you know that'd be a reliable source of, you know, information. Say, look, I need a roofer. You might, you know, message them through Facebook or whatever, asking them who do they know is a great roofer. And that's how you're going to go about finding it. So the first thing that everyone does when they're deciding who they're going to work with is they ask, who do they already know? If they don't know somebody, then they're going to ask for a referral from a trusted friend or advisor. And then if they don't have anybody that they personally know, or nobody that they know has anyone to refer, then they may respond to an ad. Statistically, the number of people that respond to ads is less than 5%. Most people make we've heard as high as 10%, but so let's just settle on 7%, okay? So most people are making the decision on who they're going to use for a roofer or a real estate agent based on who they've used in the past, or a referral from a trusted friend or advisor. And then the rest are deciding from marketing and branding and advertising, which is all the same damn thing. So I ask you, dear listener, why are so many of you spending all of your time focusing on that maybe 7% of folks that are going to maybe find somebody through marketing and advertising when almost all of the business on planet Earth is done the other way? It makes no sense.
Yeah, that's right. And keep in mind, too, when you whittle it down to that 7% who maybe is going to respond to some kind of advertising or digital marketing, that also doesn't mean that that's just responding to yours. You're way more likely to compete on something that's that cold than you are on somebody who you golf with, who hears from you with market updates all the time and is familiar with you.
Think about that, right? So you need a roof leak fixed on your house. You just moved this community. You don't know anybody, but you've met some people at the gym that you become friends with. Okay, when that person gives you the referral for that roofer, are you calling other roofers?
No, you're not going to bother, are you?
You're not even going to pre-qualify the roofer. You're just going to assume that Steve at the gym is a good guy because you know him to be a good guy, and you're just going to use his roofer. You guys get it?
And it's yet, so much easier, and you make it so much harder.
And yet you guys think you have to build your brand, and you have to build a CRM where you're going to drip on people for 1,000 years. You see the insanity of all the ways, the different, you know, why are you making things so damn hard is one of the questions I always ask myself when I listen to other people talk to real estate agents about how to be successful in real estate. Anytime something involves even a three-step plan, right, you can pretty much be guaranteed it's going to not work.
Three steps plus a lot of waiting.
Exactly. Well, it's always people trying to sell you into the belief that a CRM or a branding or a marketing campaign is going to make it so you don't have to do the real work of real estate, which is learning how to present yourself as a true real estate professional, learning scripts, learning objection handlers, you know, knowledge equals confidence, ignorance equals fear. Please listen to what we're telling you. You know what we're telling you is the truth. That's the reason you listen to the podcast every single day. I'm going to tell you guys something else. If you're not having a conversation with me about joining eXp Realty, what the heck are you waiting for? Without a doubt, after we converse about eXp, you're going to realize that it's 100% the next natural step that you should be taking in your real estate career. It certainly was for Julie and I. It will be for you as well. There's two paths forward for you to partner with us at eXp Realty. Number one, you can just go to ylibertas.com or scroll down below and click the link to learn more about our eXp Realty group. Takes you 2 seconds. Go on to the website, look at all the added benefits that we give you in addition to the amazing benefits that eXp gives you. Or if you're ready to join eXp and you've not yet chosen a sponsor, Julie and I are formally applying for the job of being your eXp Realty sponsor. And you can text me. And that is my actual cell phone number. It is 512-758-0206. 512-758-0206. It does not matter. You're a brand new agent. Let's move forward. If you're a seasoned veteran agent, let's move forward with a conversation. If you're a broker, you know what I'm going to tell you. Let's have a conversation. At least know what eXp is offering you, because in a market like this and changes like this that are going to continue to come fast and furious, especially this year, you've got to be prepared financially. And frankly, eXp for all of you is going to result in a better situation, a better outcome, and in many cases, significantly larger percents of money in your pocket. No downside. Let's have the conversation. I just told you how to do it. Have a fantastic day. We'll talk with you on the show tomorrow.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.